there's no such a thing as luck. There's no luck. You build your own future. You decide who you hang out with. You decide what you do in life. You know, I always say that you need to be careful what you think, because what you think is what you say, and what you say becomes what you do, and what you do determines your future, right? But so everything starts in your head.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is your boy Los Carlos with the Motor Misfit. Thank you for tuning in to another good episode, great episode. Today we have Juan Jose Rebaza with ASAP Trading USA. Juan Jose is the founder, CEO of ASAP Trading, and he talks to us today. He guides us through his story, his journey, all the ups and downs, the things, obstacles that he had to overcome, and how he was able to become successful in the business. And if you don't know ASAP Trading USA, they are the number one company that brings all performance, racing, and off-road parts over to Latin America. So today is a great episode. Thank you again for tuning in, and let's get started. Yo, what is going on, everybody? This is your boy Los Carlos with Motor Misfit. Thank you for tuning in to yet another great episode. And guys, today is a really good one. We have Juan Jose Rebaza, the CEO and founder of ASAP Trading USA, who is the number one factory rep company selling all performance, racing, and off-road automotive parts in Latin America. What's going on, Juan Jose?
Hey, Carlos, how are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. The pleasure is all mine. I appreciate you getting on, taking some time to talking with us. Well, guys, Juan Jose, I'm going to give you guys a quick little bio into Juan Jose, but I'll pass it on over to him afterwards. So Juan Jose has been an avid car enthusiast his entire life. As many that immigrate to the U.S., following their dreams, he faced many obstacles, but kept his focus and worked hard to build a successful career in Latin America, sales, and marketing. Juan Jose quickly rose in the corporate ladder, but still had that automotive itch. So in 2017, he took a chance and founded ASAP Trading USA, and is the one, well, I would say the organization that provides services to U.S.-based companies that want to sell into Latin America. Today, Juan Jose will take us through his profound journey and provide us with some great advice and insight. I'll pass it on over to him, and he can share a little bit more about himself.
Thank you, Carlos. Great intro. Appreciate it. And thank you for everything you do for the community, for the industry. So when I learned about you, and also did some research, and you're doing an amazing job, so appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Juan Jose. So how did you get into the industry? I know that is a loaded question, because you can go many routes with that question. But, you know, take us a little bit through your background.
So many stories. It's hard to know where this whole thing started. But if I have to go back to many, many, many years ago, I think when I was like 8 years old, like one of my neighbors actually had a go-kart. And that was one thing we used to do, you know, growing up, just hanging out at the go-kart track and just going around. And, you know, back then I was already, you know, pretty much passionate about going fast and constantly improving lap times. Fast forward to the age where you start learning to drive a car. I'm the youngest of three boys, so you can imagine how that was growing up in Peru. My older brother Ricardo and I end up like fighting for my mom's car on the weekends to see who would take it, right? So and then, you know, 3-4 years later, I find myself going to college, decided to study business administration, And most of my friends at that time either opened garage shops or they decided to become mechanics. And that's how my life was from when I was 18 till like probably was like 23, 24 years old, hanging out at a garage shop on the weekends. I actually, you know, one of my accomplishments back then was to start the first ever radio control car association in Peru.
Some
of my best friends. So yeah, back then we were learning a little bit about mechanics with this, you know, 1/8 scale gas buggies.
That's awesome.
Had all the components of a real car. you know, so, but then also we would, you know, wake up early, 4 o'clock in the morning and hit the road when there, whenever there was a rally race, just to go see the rally, because, you know, they close the roads and you have to be, you know, basically in the middle of the stage. So, but that's kind of what I did. In 1998, I make one of my first biggest professional decisions to move to the States and pursue my master degree. So I moved to San Diego, and I finished in 2000. And then from there, I grew in the professional ladder pretty fast, first as a production manager for a fashion shoe company, which was very, very fast paced. I lived in China for a while, you know, monitoring some of the factories there that we had at that time. And then I moved to a hot tub company where I was the aftermarket manager, and then later the director of business development for Latin America, Australia, New Zealand. And that kind of opened my eyes into the international business a little bit. That was always my dream, you know, to live in the States and have to work with people in Latin America, you know, my own culture. So at that time, I used to travel quite a lot, and I got to build a network of loyal customers in Latin America, Australia, New Zealand, and some even in Europe. But, you know, like I said, it was a lot of traveling. In 2008, probably you remember the big crisis here. Sales, you know, especially for hot tubs, was very, very difficult. So I make a decision to move back to Peru in 2009. And I make my second biggest and best decision ever was to start a company with my brother Enrique, which is my middle brother. He also has the same professional experience I have in international business, but for the agriculture industry. So we combined our network of contacts in the region and we started ASAP Trading in Peru first. And then we became the distributor for Autometer. So that's kind of how, you know, to your question, how, you know, I started in the industry, you know. So the first brand that we actually represented in Peru was Autometer. And that was thanks to my cousin Daniel, who, you know, he suggested that I reach out to Autometer. So I did. And at that time, Dennis Holding was the sales rep for Autometer. And, you know, we got signed up, we started selling Autometer in Peru. And then from there, we continue looking for companies to represent. I think after that came Rough Country, if I'm not mistaken. And we kept growing the business in Peru.
Okay.
Fast forward 2016, my wife and I decided it was time to come back. You know, she's originally from Ohio, and you know, it was a good experience for her to be in Peru, but it was time for her professional life to be back. So we came back in 2016. So with all the experience that I already gained in Peru as an importer and distributor of some brands, I came back. Reach out to Dennis, who now is my mentor and advisor in the industry. he said, "Oh, great, because I'm ready to retire. And I see you have a lot of passion. You have a lot of passion. You got a lot of energy. You know, I will totally recommend Autometer to bring you on board, and you now can take over my job for Latin America." And I'm like, I couldn't believe it, right? So I was like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
So we did, you know. So, you know, he set up a meeting, got together with them, and 2016, I became the sales rep for Autometer for Latin America. And then after that, I started working with Motor State Distributing, also as an outside sales rep for them for Latin America. And the rest is history. I mean, today, 2021, we're working with 9 of the best companies involved with racing performance and off-roading the industry. We have a network now of over 50 importers in the region. Before COVID, you know, we were in pretty much every country at least once a year, learning from the culture, involved with the racing, supporting the teams, sometimes even cheering up for the drivers. The passion for racing is there. You know, I work now with my brother, Ricardo, and even a couple of months ago, we brought on board also one of my nephews, Santiago. So the team just keeps growing. The business keeps growing. What can I say? I'm living the dream. You know, it's been a journey, like you said on your question. It's definitely been a journey that keeps evolving. You know, that's the thing with this industry. You know, everything, it's even the parts just keep evolving. Technology keeps evolving. We feel like we are racers. You know, we're always looking for that edge and and have that advantage. And you know, life is just like a race that you constantly have to be coming into pits and keep sharpening your mind and your strategies and how to succeed in life, right?
Awesome, man. That is some great advice right there at the end that you gave, and thank you for taking us through your journey. That's definitely a great journey. So I understand that you moved back to Peru. You were working with non-automotive company. So what made you just, other than your cousin Enrique, what made you just think, okay, let me get back into the automotive industry? Not your cousin Enrique, your brother Enrique, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorry about that. Let me just get into the automotive industry. Was it just like the suggestion of, hey, maybe you should reach out to Autometer, or what actually clicked with you? Like, hey, you know what? I think that we should start helping U.S. companies, you know, sell down here in Latin America. What was that click for you, or how did you come up with that? How did you get to that?
So it's a life cycle, right? And you have to go through the different stages in your own life to come up to that conclusion. You know, like I said at the beginning, you know, my journey, you know, when I was 8 years old, I was driving my neighbor's go-kart and having fun, right? Mm-hmm. At that point, you don't click like, oh man, this is kind of what I could be doing for a living. And then after that, I was always wanting to sell stuff. Like, you know, I sold like honey, perfumes. I sold electronics working for Panasonic, which was a great company to work for. You know, that Japanese mentality helped me a lot, you know, in my early years. Then, you know, I was in the shoe business. You know, the fast-paced industry of the fashion industry was amazing for me. And then, you know, with the Hunter company, they actually allow me to travel quite a lot. But at the end, there was something missing, right? The product. I was not really connecting with the product. Mm-hmm. So when I moved back to Peru, and then my cousin Daniel said, hey, Autometer, I'm like, for 1 second, I said, hey, Autometer, they're not even going to pay attention to me. Autometer to me is a brand that I always seen as like this iconic brand, right? And then all it took is, you know, a couple of emails, a couple of phone calls, and all of a sudden, yep, you know, you are the authorized, you know, dealer in Peru. And like, wow. So from there, it's like just a little spark, right? Now I had the product that was related to an industry that I had passion for. Hmm. So from there is where, you know, everything's, you know, pretty much started. So that's I do have the passion for the cars. And I had the love for the Latin American people. Mm-hmm. And then I always look for personal challenge. So to me, combining passion of cars with love for Latin America and having this challenge to help increase sales while meeting or exceeding my customer expectations, it was the perfect formula. So yeah. To me, it's just like, all right, this is a no-brainer. This is what I want to do.
No, that's awesome, man. And it's great that you were able to, that was able to click, right? It was like opportunity comes, right? And if you don't open the door, you know, it might not happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say, and I always tell, you know, to my nephews, my nieces, there's no such a thing as luck.
Yeah.
There's no luck. You build your own future. You decide who you hang out with. You decide what you do in life. You know, I always say that you need to be careful what you think, because what you think is what you say, and what you say becomes what you do, and what you do determines your future. Mm. Right? So everything starts in your head.
That's awesome, man. And that's a great way of thinking it. And everybody listening can definitely take that to heart. That's, what was that again? What you think is what you do, and what you do.
What you think is what you say. And What you say is what you end up doing. And what you do is going to determine your future.
That's great, man. That's definitely a great value bomb there for everybody that's listening. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no. I mean, hopefully that whole idea of this is sharing, right? I mean, through my journey, I didn't do it alone. I mean, my parents were definitely in there, you know, my cousin, Daniel, my brother, Enrique, who first believed in me and started a company with me. My brother, Ricardo, worked with me. So you don't do it alone. So of course, this whole world is about doing that. It's sharing. So education nowadays is free, you know. So if you don't want to know something, it's because you don't want to know, you know, that excuse that before, oh, I don't have the money. I don't believe in that. You know, there's so much information out there that it only takes is for you to decide whether you want to improve or not.
Well, that's the thing, man. It's like nowadays you find everything online, right? Yeah. It's easier, I guess, if you have the money and you want to pay for a structured type of education, but you can find everything. I mean, it's just like you say, actually wanting to do it and wanting to learn it, because you definitely can find it. What is it? YouTube is like one of the most used search engines, and all it has is videos, right? So you can learn a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube.
So. Absolutely. I think now the learner is in control, because you have so much information that now you have to review all these videos and all these, you know, forums and websites, that you have to take it all in, and you have to make your own, you know, conclusion. You got to come up to your own conclusions, because as you know, there's also some information out there that is, you know, it's not accurate. So also, it's not that you're going to go and look up a video and say, okay, I want to believe everything I just saw or heard. No, you got to watch a few and then make your own decision. Right?
No, definitely. That's how it is, man. Yeah. So getting back to ASAP trading. So you founded the company, you were working with Autometer, you started working with other brands as well. How was that? I mean, yes, you had Autometer right from the beginning because of the relationship that you built. But how was that journey to be able to provide these services to other companies as well?
So as you know, journeys are that. So there's always challenges, right? And it's I wish it would be like a Formula One racetrack where there's not a single butthole, right? Basically, you don't even go racing if there's a little butthole, right? Or so I wish it would be like that life, but life is not like that, right? Life is nothing close to a perfect scenario. So we definitely have ups and downs. But you know, at the moment we're working with Autometer and we're working with Cometic Gasket, like I said, with Motor State as a distributor, and we got EPI Performance, we have, you know, Rough Country, MFC. I mean, we have, like I said, over 9 companies that are trusting us, right? But the best way to put it is we as ASAP Trading are the driver, you know, trying to grow business in Latin America. But we cannot do it alone, right? So in those companies that understand that analogy do well in Latin America, we can't do it alone. In order to win a race, you need a good car, but you also need good mechanics. You need a good strategy. You know, you definitely need fuel. And in this industry, the fuel is the budget. You know, if you go and you have a race that is 50 laps, but you don't have enough fuel in your tank, then you might finish the race, but you can't go, you know, flat out every single lap because you might run out of fuel. So that's who ASAP Trading is. You know, they're putting me in this car and they're saying, go win the race, which is basically go increase sales, go get us more customers, right? So, and we say, okay, fantastic. I need, where's my team? I can't do it alone, right? So that's our constant, I think, battle that we have is from one side, you have the customers and importers in Latin America wanting different things because there are different countries, even though it's their own Latin America, they have different cultures. And every country has different rules and regulations when you're importing products. So then the companies here in the United States, they also need to adjust how they do business, right? In order to come up with that perfect strategy.
Yeah, definitely. So on that same note then, how is it that, well, I guess let me put it this way. What are some of the biggest challenges that you've seen so far and that you're still seeing right now in increasing sales and getting more business in Latin America?
So there's one that was big at the beginning that, you know, over the years we were able to overcome, but the culture in Latin America is that you normally don't see another Latin American person trying to help you, right? So when I, you know, I was born and raised in Peru. So when I pick up the phone, when I email somebody in Peru, hey, my name is such and such and I work here, I'm calling to help you, right? That's like, what? Nobody calls me to, you know, especially a Peruvian telling me they're going to help me.
Something and what do you want for this help?
yeah, exactly, right? It's like, no, I work with Motor State, or I work with, you know, Red Horse Performance, you know, and they do, you know, hoses and fittings for, you know, and I know, you know, you build cars, so, you know, what do you need? Because, you know, I have the factory behind me and we can help you out and blah. So at the beginning, it was difficult for the Latin American culture to grasp that. How can they be somebody calling me asking for, you know, to help me? Yeah. So that took some time. That was a big, I think, obstacle. Now, how do we overcome that? With the help of the factories or the company that we represent. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to be on the road, and I'm gonna go see the guys at Impact in Indianapolis, and I'm gonna go see probably Red Horse Performance. So when I am with the factory, that helps me show people in Latin America that I do work with them because they see me. over there. They see me with them, and they hear from the manufacturers or from the company that yes, Juan Jose and ASAP Trading work with us. You know, we're trusting him to help you get the products you need or get the customer service that you want.
Yeah. Perfect, man. That's definitely a big challenge. And I mean, I know it's a constant struggle, right? Because although that was a challenge at the beginning, I know you're still probably facing that right now with different venues or avenues that you're exploring. So yeah. So that's a good way of going through it and trying to overturn that challenge. So definitely good luck on that one.
Yeah,
I know how it is.
It's I like to break molds, right? And so this is a concept that exists in the United States, you know, to have a sales rep. Yeah. It's not too common in Latin America, right? So sometimes people from Latin America, they contact directly the manufacturer or they contact directly Motor State. And then they send me the lead to follow up. So all I'm doing is my job, and I contact them, and they're like, "No, but who are you? I didn't contact you. I contact them, right?" So then, that sometimes takes a little bit of time to overcome the little challenge right there. But once you do, and it helps. Before COVID, when I was able to travel, when Ricardo was able to travel, to do face to face. Right. And then sit down with them and basically, oh, okay. Yes. So then you can build that relationship. It's a bit easier when you can travel and you're sitting down with them.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's definitely something that can help out there. And it, kind of talking about COVID, or kind of leading towards that. So we see that a lot of industry were impacted by COVID. The automotive industry was definitely impacted, although I did hear that some companies did well versus others, right? Now things are sort of getting back to normal, or at least starting to. We definitely won't get back to normal for a little while, but at least we're seeing a route there, right? With that said, what has you most excited about the future? It could be the near future, it could be in a few years, but both personally and with ASAP Trading, what has you most excited?
I mean, ASAP Trading is me, right? I mean, ASAP Trading is personally. And then that's the thing is when you're doing something that you have passion for, you can't stop thinking about that, you know? There's a lot more to do. There's a lot more business in Latin America, and that's what we strive for every single day, to get customers to buy more, but then on the same token to also get better customer service. So we constantly strive to do that. So as you said, I don't know if we're going to come back to normal or to the normal that we know. It will be the new normal, but I look forward to being on the road again. That to our business was the most successful marketing we had, to invest in being in the different countries in Latin America, and see how they enjoy their off-road or their, you know, racing, the different types of racing. I had really, really good experiences in Mexico, where you go there and you have some of the best engine builders, on the racetrack, bringing you to other teams and suggesting, hey, you should work with this guy. You know, that you don't get that through an email. You don't get that through a video meeting. You know, you have to be there. Yeah. They have to feel that you do want their business and you want to help them, right? And that you can only do it when you travel.
Yeah, they definitely need to feel that connection, right? Yeah. And not, there's no connection like over the phone or stuff like that. It has to be in person. That's, you know, that's definitely Latin America.
Yeah. And you know, the more you get to know them, the more they expect that you spend more time with them, right? So, you know, when you're just starting the business, yeah, you can probably maybe see 7 prospects in a day. But once you have accounts, you know, they expect you to just at least spend half a day with them, if not a full day.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's always a struggle there in Latin America, but hey, at least it's something that we know that you have to go through, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's another reason to, you know, why should we do business in Latin America? Because of that too, you know.
Yeah,
it's, everybody talks about it. Work should be also fun, and to do business in Latin America is fun, you know, to go to Chile or Argentina and have a beautiful wine and enjoy nice meat, nice meals. Nobody, you know, it's in a rush. It's good, you know. In Colombia, you got, you know, beautiful people, and they always welcome you. And you know, same thing in Ecuador. And you know, it's just everywhere you go. So there's a beauty of that, doing business, you know, in Latin America, and that's kind of, you know, I guess my second passion after loving the cars. Is to do business with them and enjoy that quality time while you do business.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's just you need to build those connections. And even in US, right? It's always better to build a connection with somebody. And quite honestly, you can't do that over video. You can't do that over the phone. So like you said, you got to make it fun, and that is one of the perks of this type of position, this type of business. So that is definitely true. So we're going to take a quick pause on your journey, but I do have a few more questions, right? But I want to take a quick pause, and I wanted to go through some questions that might kind of throw you off a little. It's what I like to call our final lap questions. Let's try to make this a little fun, right?
Yep. Final lap.
Yes, we are kind of reaching that final lap. So definitely wanted to get these questions over to you, kind of see a little bit more of your taste for cars. So I guess the first question we can go with is, if you had unlimited funds, actually, I'm going to ask a question before that one. So scratch that one, or put a pin in that one right now.
Okay.
I
was liking the idea of having unlimited funds.
Oh, don't worry. That's coming back.
Okay.
But I first want to know, what was that one car that impacted you most in your whole automotive enthusiast?
So, I mean, I can always go back to the first car I had, which, you know, it was quite an experience to get it. It was an Alfa Romeo Giulia, 1968, I believe, that I, you know, bought with my brother Enrique and built it. But
oh, that's nice.
If I have to say one car, it would probably be the MP4-5B, just because since I was 12 years old, I was, you know, always glued to the TV watching Formula One. And that's the McLaren that Ayrton Senna was driving,
mm-hmm.
1989, I believe, 1988, 1989.
Legend Ayrton Senna.
Exactly. And so, you know, but that car was just beautiful to watch, and you know, and what they accomplished together, you know, driver, team, car. But yeah, to me, that's an iconic car.
No, that definitely is. The whole white and red scheme with the Marlboro on it.
Oh, yes. Those were the eras of Formula One. You know, that being said, I mean, we've been having better races, but so that will probably be the car that impacted me the most, I think.
That is a great car to impact you, so that's awesome there. So thank you for answering that. And let's go to that second question that I know you're waiting for. If you had unlimited funds and, you know, we won't do anything crazy, just do a 3-car garage, what cars would you have in those three spaces?
Oh, boy.
And I have to add, these are your only 3 cars.
Yeah. So, you know, at the moment, I drive a Jeep. I have another Jeep in Peru, so I enjoy off-road. So one of those three have to be something related now, with off-roading.
A Jeep Wrangler? Or?
It's a Grand Cherokee. It's a WJ. Nice. Yeah. Okay. So I would probably go with a Mercedes G350 for my kind of SUV off-road vehicle.
Okay.
One car that I also kind of fall in love with for the last 3 or 4 years is the Mercedes-Benz 190E, but the 190E 16V, which is they released the 190 and then they came out with the 16V. They put a Ford Cosworth engine in it. And me kind of being also fan of Ayrton Senna, I came across a documental, which I have no idea, but apparently when Mercedes-Benz released that car, they have this wonderful idea to invite Formula One drivers, current and ex-Formula One drivers. Mm-hmm. And they gave them the Mercedes-Benz 190 to drive.
Oh, wow.
And and Ayrton Senna was not invited. I think it was supposed to be, I think Emerson Fittipaldi was supposed to go, but then he couldn't make it. So Emerson suggested, hey, you should get this kid from Brazil, Ayrton Senna, you know, and he was just starting with Formula One. So they invite him to that ceremony and he ended up winning, beating everybody else, all the other Formula One drivers, more experienced than him, with the same car. So anyhow, but that's a beautiful car that then later raced in DTM in Germany. Yeah. And in the 80s, I was following DTM. So, yeah. So the Mercedes will be my second car, the 190 16V.
Nice, man. That is a nice car. And they're definitely going up in prices, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah.
And what would be that third? What would be in that third parking space?
So this might be a bit cheesy, but I have to go with a car that I like because it's my garage, but that I would like to enjoy with my wife, right? So it will be the Porsche 356 Speedster.
Oh, okay. I've never had that on the show. All right.
So that will be, I guess, so that way I can have a daily driver, which will be my Mercedes. I will take the Mercedes 190E. I'll take the G off-road, and then I'll have my Porsche 356 for the weekends.
All right, perfect. So that's a great garage. I will tell you that. So by that garage, I can sense that you're a off-road guy and a classic car guy.
Because
190E, the Porsche Speedster, but then you got the G from Mercedes to kind of do the off-roading. So,
yeah, I never saw it that way, but that? I guess I am. And I guess I'm getting wiser, not older. Yeah, I guess I am.
Hey, but you could be into classics and not...
I was debating whether to throw in like a Subaru in there, or maybe throwing like a rally car, like a Ford Fiesta. I mean, I would love to have a WRC car in my garage, but then, you know, how often are you going to use that stuff, right? I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, what are your, so you're into off-roading a lot. This is not one of the three questions, but what are three, just because I'm curious, what are three off-road cars that you like a lot? You like the Jeep, right? You like that G-Wagon.
Yep.
A WRC, WRX, STI, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I will use that for the next question then, Juan Jose, because you named
it. What is the next question? Now you're getting worried.
So the next question is what I'd like to call Track Daily Crush. Have you ever played this game?
Track Daily Crush. I can't imagine, but it doesn't sound right.
So I'm going to give you a list of three cars, which we just spoke about because you actually gave me the list, but I'll give it right back to you. Because you are an off-road guy, I got to tell you, I'm not well-versed in off-road, so that's why I wanted to ask you that question. You're an off-road guy, and I want to give you three off-road vehicles to play in this game. Track Daily Crush. One of them will be your track car, and by track, it can be an off-road track, so it doesn't have to be like a road course or anything like that, obviously. One that you will daily, and one that you're going to send to the salvage yard to get crushed. So we're going to do...
What are my three cars?
So your three cars is I want you to take the most beefed up Jeep that you have thrown all your money onto to make it such an amazing off-road car. I want you to do the same thing with the G-Wagon. So right there, we got two cars. And then we are going to put in there a WRC spec'd WRX STI.
Yeah, okay, so the WRX STI is not really an off-road. It's actually all-wheel drive.
But rally, because you could use it as rally car as well.
Oh yeah. Okay. So one of those three I need to thrash.
One of those three you have to daily drive. One of those three you're going to take to the track, and one of those three, yeah, you have to get that thing crushed.
So I think as a daily driver, the Mercedes G will be probably the nicest.
Okay, but remember, these are going to be beefed up, off-road spec. So yeah, yes, it could be the nicest.
I'll keep the Mercedes G for sure as a daily driver.
Okay.
To take to the track, I'll take the WRX STI, and I'll trash the Jeep.
Oh, all right. So I thought you were a Jeep guy, Juan Jose.
I am, but you know, everything is. It depends on the perspective, right? And you change the context. So it's, you move the rack. So,
well, those were some good picks, quite honestly. And I got to tell you, I would probably do the same thing if I were in your shoes. So thanks for playing that game. I kind of wanted to go with your three-car garage, but I wanted to take it more like that off-road rally type of arena.
Yeah.
Because you did mention that you like that. So those were some great choices. Thank you for letting us know about that. And I really like your three-car garage also.
Yeah, now I'm envisioning. Now, actually, yeah.
Hey. Vision board. There you go. There you go. Vision board.
That's the beauty of life. You know, you can't never stop dreaming. So, it's a good thing.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because it kind of brings us back to going back to your journey. I did have a few last questions about that. We are nearing the end of the interview. I know I've taken some of your time already, but what would you say to somebody that wants to follow in your footsteps, right? And this could be somebody that is in Latin America right now, somebody that wants to immigrate to the U.S. and follow their dreams like you did. Or it could be somebody that wants to, you know, start their own business and make a name for themselves, start doing this movement like you're doing, and actually bringing these performance racing off-road parts over to Latin America. What are those advices, final thoughts that you would give them?
Oh man. Okay. So let me see. So the first thing is know what you want. And I know that could be very loaded, because when you're young, sometimes you don't know what you want. So if you don't know what you want, you got to follow your instincts. And something that can help, and that can help, and it has helped me in my life, is to surround yourself with people that you admire. You know, and if they're older, even better. You know, I started spending a lot more time with my uncles late in, you know, in my life. And I wish, you know, back when I was 20, I would listen to older people, especially if you admire what they've done, right?
Yeah.
That's free advice that is available to everybody. But when you're young, you tend to think you know everything. So surround yourself with your kind of like your it's your board of advisors, right? People that you admire from what they've done, what they accomplished, for what they are doing, and see how they're doing it, right? Be ready to take risks. Like you said, you know, if you wanna have your company, it's good that you wanna have your company, but you need to make sure first you have the right conditions for your company to succeed, right? If I need to summarize this, is life is like a race, right? So just if you're into rally, think about a rally race. You know, you don't win a rally race by winning one stage. You better win several stages. If you like, you know, circuit racing, then normally it's laps. You don't win the race by winning one lap. So in order to do that, you can't do it alone. So you need to make sure you have a good team around you. You have a good car, which is basically all the technology around you that can, you know, provide you with that win that you want. You need to have enough fuel, because also if you start a company but you don't have enough budget to run your company, which is something that most people do, is like, They do this business plan. They say, okay, first year, I'm going to sell this. And then what happens if you don't sell that? Then the company goes bankrupt, right? So you need to make sure that you have a solid plan and a solid, you know, budget there that support the growth. And then obviously, just like the races, don't forget the fans. It's always good that you have people around you that are cheering and celebrating your little success that you're having along the way. And then, you know, just be your own Lewis Hamilton. You can be your own Ayrton Senna. You know, you can decide your own career.
Yeah, that is true. That is great advice. And you guys heard it here. I mean, definitely know what you want, follow your dreams, and get that experience or that wisdom from those people that can help you out. So I couldn't have said it better myself, Juan Jose. Definitely great advice to give everybody and great insight. Where can people find you and ASAP Trading?
Well, ASAP Trading, so the website is asap-trading.net. Mm-hmm. We also have another website, which is asap-racing.com. And then if you go on Instagram, or Facebook, ASAP Trading. So you can find me, or just, you know, contact me directly, 858-997-4680, or drop me an email, jjrebasa@asap-trading.net.
Awesome. So you guys heard it here. Definitely reach out to Juan Jose. He is a great guy to talk to, has great advice, great insight. Can definitely help you out. And check out ASAP Trading. I mean, go and see what they're doing. go and see the movement that they're starting, getting these parts over to Latin America, getting more manufacturers and organizations, companies over there into Latin America, because Juan Jose is doing a great job at that, and just follow his movement. You definitely won't be disappointed. Definitely check them out. And he has some great things coming up for the future, right, Juan Jose?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's, we don't stop. we don't stop. I mean, this industry doesn't stop. We're excited. You know, we work closely also with SEMA and PRI, and we're all excited that we're going to have an in-person SEMA and PRI again this year. I think we all missed the show last year because of COVID, but now we're all ready to meet with the manufacturers, to meet with the importers from Latin America. They all, you know, it's a great excuse for them to fly in. So yeah, definitely, we never stop. Keep moving.
Definitely. So the guys there, you heard it. Definitely go and check out ASAP Trading and ASAP-Racing as well. So ASAP-Trading.net, ASAP-Racing.com. Check out Juan Jose on all the social media and ASAP Trading on social media. And, well, Juan Jose, I would like to thank you again for being a great guest on the show, giving us your insight, your advice. I know that this will definitely help out our audience and a lot of people out there.
Yeah, thank you, Carlos, as well. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the time. And thanks for your contribution to the industry as well.
I appreciate it. You have a great day and a great holiday weekend coming up.
All right, same to you.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Speak soon. Bye-bye.